So lots of aircraft, lots of opportunities, and as I say, not a problem at all. Well, my first integrated assignment was Smoky Hill Air Base in Salina, Kansas. No problem on base, and I, like George, had gone to maintenance officer school, so part of my experience was also material and maintenance support as well as flying. Got along flying on base. My family, of course, at that time never got to Salina because nothing was available. Wow. But again, change took place. From there, I went out to Riverside, California. Again, there was no black housing around the base there at that time. And so you had to make do. And still, at the time, when maintenance control first came into being, a bomb group and the first fighter group, again, fortunately got along fine on the job.
There's a wonderful story that I doubt Colonel McGee talks about. You all have heard of Frank Borman, aviator, Air Force pilot, but also astronaut, Gemini and Apollo 8. Frank was in his command at Clark Field.
Yes, indeed, right? Yeah.
And he apparently had a problem with a flight surgeon, as I understand it, and he was, you know, getting clogged up and his ears were bothering him, and he was down. He wasn't able to fly for a while. And my understanding is that Frank was concerned that he was going to lose his flying career until he came to his squadron commander. And what did he say to you, Charles?
Well, we knew what his status was, and in talking to him, I said, I think we can do something about it. It happened he had been grounded because of it, whatever the element was, and the flight surgeon there in the Philippines didn't want to put him back on flying. And I talked to the flight surgeon. I said, if you'll monitor him, we'll take him up in the F-80, and you can check him out. We flew him, and he got checked out, and they finally put him back on flying status. And as you say, look where he ended up.
Well, Frank Borman will tell anybody who asks that this man saved his entire flying career.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I might want to say I had somewhat a different career. Although I flew in World War II and Korea, after that I went to SAC and maintenance, but I was in maintenance. And SAC even expanded my maintenance career into armament systems.
Wow.
That's the guns, everything in the so electronics, everything on the airplane.
So what was your Vietnam experience, George?
Well, I was a maintenance officer in the 19 bomb group.
Right.
And I flew B-29s. In fact, I saw every part of Korea, as far north as you can go, south around the Busan perimeter and whatnot. And I got 45 missions. But my last mission was the worst mission. The Chinese were coming in then. And we were trying to, I wasn't supposed to fly that day, but a good friend asked me if I could fly as his co-pilot. I said yes. Before takeoff, as the vehicle getting out the plane, I fell and caught myself. I didn't realize it, but I fractured a bone in my elbow. But I didn't realize it before takeoff. Mm-hmm. And we took off, and we flew an 11-hour mission. The mission was three-ship formation to fly down the Yellow River to knock out the bridges to Manchuria. But we had to make sure none of our bombs went over the middle part of the bridge, because that was Chinese territory, see. So we flew down there to bomb the bridges, and I remember them firing at us anti-aircraft from China. But I, as I said to a fella, it's inaccurate. It was low, whatnot, so we came back. But by then, my arm was hurting like hell.
Gee.
And so after I got off, I got a shot of morphine out of my E&E kit, and I tell you, that was the greatest thing that I remember.
George, give me the drugs, right?
But everything was fine. 5 hours later, we got back to base. And the aircraft commander, I was a co-pilot, he said, stay there, they'll come get you. I said, no, I can get out. I started to get up, and suddenly, as if I was liquid, I fell down the seat. They got me out, and they found a bone was fractured in my elbow, so I didn't fly anymore. After that, I came back.
Wow.
But coming back to the States, I got involved in more than just flying and maintenance, whatnot. And in fact, I was in SAC several times. but also went to an Institute of Technology for 2 years and got a BS in electrical engineering. But then I made major over there and went to Plattsburgh, New York as a squadron commander, A&E squadron commander. My wing commander was that same officer who wouldn't speak to me on Guam and Okinawa, Fred W. Miller.
He's following you around.
I served for him for two and a half years. It was the best years for my career there. I loved
Did his
working.
Attitude change at Plattsburgh?
Oh, his attitude changed, yes. Mm-hmm. I loved working for him the second time. Wow. Oh, he thought the world of me the second time. And I would have, I remember just after the Cuban crisis ended, I got a letter from the Institute of Technology at Wright-Patterson. They wanted me to go to graduate school, which I ended up going to graduate school. So I got a master's in systems engineering then, say. So I talk to kids a lot. Education, to me, is the key, see. Yeah. And I got some good jobs after that, and a few years later made lieutenant colonel. So.
Well, we talk a lot about attitude. What's your attitude today about things? And, of course, the key thing is, what are you doing about things? Are you saying something? You know, like, what is it for safety? Say, if you see it, say something. Well, we feel the same way. If you see something, what's your attitude about what's going on? Do something about changing it in the right direction.
Vietnam?
Yeah.
Vietnam, F-4 Phantoms.
F-4, great flying, because it was tactical reconnaissance, no weapons, speed was our only defense, and we used it several times. So it was good, and particularly at nighttime, you knew, we're day, night, infrared, you name it, we had all of the opportunities, but at nighttime, to put the throttle up and look back and see all the tracers way behind you. It was great.
When you came back to the States, you went to Maxwell. Was that squadron commander school or what?
But that was also one of my commands, because I commanded the 16th Squadron for the year that I was there. But no, I ended up going to Europe and was air liaison for Eastern 7th Army for a period, and got promoted to full colonel, and ended up in the 50 attack fighter wing at Hahn Air Base in Germany. We were flying F-4Cs, Ds, and Es.
Right. You mentioned education, and tell me about the Red Tail scholarship program.
Well, George, you want to handle that, Well, there are two scholarship programs really going on. The Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated has an annual scholarship fund, and over the years that has grown to where we give 1,500 scholarships to a youngster leaving high school, going into college, and then the aviation space career study. The Red Tail folks also have a foundation, but they're touching thousands of youngsters across the country flying this airplane at air shows on display. But they also have an educational trailer, and for those that might have the opportunity, the trailer is up at Kid Venture right now. They park the trailer, expand it, and show a movie. And then they give the youngsters a dog tag with things, you know, like believing you can, get prepared. Things promoting, which is so important, what we like to do, moderate a youngster and help bringing them along, because they're our country's future.
Amen to that. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. George, you look back on your Air Force career. How significant has this whole experience been for you?
Well, it's been very significant, because remember, I went into service. I was a high school graduate, and I had a whole life ahead of me. It changed my life completely, say. Aviation, flying, whatnot. But then I got a full education in the service. So I got a lot out of it. And I tell kids, you can get a lot out of being in the service, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that also helped me because, as I say, I got called into service with 2 years of college. Through their program, I got a degree many years later because I kept telling the kids to get an education. I said, hey, I better go finish mine if I'm going to keep talking. So I did. But the value lessons that sustained us are equally good for the young folks of today with what they're faced tomorrow. And some of that tomorrow we don't even know, so it's getting harder to mentor them, but we can't give up.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you both, Colonel McGee, Colonel Hardy. Great. Yeah. You can stay for just a second.
I was going to stand up.
Sure. Yeah, sure, stand. Yeah.